You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 106 of Take a Bow. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and this week we have another very exciting episode for you all. We have a former Broadway kid, but now Broadway adult? I guess you could say. It's a very exciting episode, and I'm excited because I'm bringing back some people my age. We haven't had like a kid, or I guess like a younger person on the podcast for a minute, so it was fun to chat with this week's. So it was fun to chat with this week's guest, and we have a great episode coming your way. But first, we have to talk about some Broadway news, shall we? There were a couple of shows that closed since then, and then, of course, a big little cast au revoir, I guess you could say, since the last time I talked to you all. Broadway said happy trails to Mrs. Doubtfire on Broadway, which leads me into this week's guest, Jake Ryan Flynn. I didn't mention his name. Jake Ryan Flynn is joining the podcast, and he's talking about literally saving the final weeks of Mrs. Doubtfire and so much more. Very excited to talk to him, and you all will love this conversation, I already know. And then New York said au revoir and happy trails to Suffs, the musical, which hopefully we will be seeing down the line on Broadway or some sort of in some sort of facet. I'm sure this will not be the end of Suffs, which is why I say until we meet again for Suffs. And then, of course, Andre DeShields left Hadestown. I mentioned all of this last week, but it did happen Sunday, so I wanted to say it again, and I wanted to introduce Jake Ryan Flynn. Congratulations to everyone involved in both of those companies, and then, of course, Andre DeShields on an incredible run. Loved all of those performances, all three of them, the whole cast of Doubtfire, the whole cast of Suffs, and Andre DeShields and Hadestown. Definitely not the same without it. I definitely think that Doubtfire flew under the radar a good bit with all of the new stuff that was being written. And it's unfortunate that it happened the way it did and the way that COVID affected it. And it was just an unfortunate timing for the show. But I'm glad that it's going to go out and tour and everything because it's definitely a show that should be around and should be seen, especially during these times, which they are difficult. So I'm excited to bring Jake Ryan Flynn on to continue that Doubtfire legacy and to talk about all the things about Mrs. Doubtfire. And get you all excited for the Tony Awards, which is if you see me next week, which you will, of course, but I'll be here. Hopefully you'll tune in is what I'm trying to say. You will be hearing a whole Tony preview and a whole Tony rundown. It's literally going to be an episode that I'm going to have some special guests on and talking about the Tonys and giving our predictions of who will win, kind of talk about it. And then the following week, we'll kind of see how we do. I'm very excited. So that's that. And moving on, there's some major announcement that happened literally the day that the podcast came out last week with Douglas Lyons. Into the Woods is officially going to be coming to Broadway. It's going to be a very, very, very limited run as it's only 2 weeks long at the St. James Theater. The Into the Woods will have a mix of the City Center cast and then a new cast. So Sarah Bareilles will be returning. Brian D'Arcy James is going to be playing the Baker. Patina Miller will be the witch. So that was Neil Patrick Harris and then Heather Headley as the witch there. So those two are switching. Philippa Sue will be Cinderella. Gavin Creel will be playing the wolf / Cinderella's prince. Joshua Henry will be Rapunzel's prince. Annie Golden, all of these wonderful names. Julia Lester from High School Musical, the musical, the series. I know that's kind of you guys, you listening know that name for sure as Little Red Riding Hood. And there's a ton of other wonderful, this cast is amazing. And I cannot wait. I'm so excited that we have another opportunity to see the show. Hopefully they are not as expensive. I mean, I'm sure they will be expensive because Broadway is expensive, but Broadway is hard, so I understand. But hopefully it's a little less expensive But hopefully it's a little less expensive than it was at the City Center. So hopefully I'll be able to go, and hopefully you all will be able to go. I'm so excited for this show. I really, really want to see it. And I love this cast that they're bringing in. I mean, I'm kind of bummed that, you know, I heard Heather Headley was just insane, but like Patina Miller is amazing as well. So I got to meet her a few times while I was in Pippin, and she's so talented. And I got to watch the original Broadway cast because they had the archive and all that. So I have no doubt that she will be amazing. Love Brian D'Arcy James, love Philippa Sue, love Joshua Henry, love Sarah Bareilles. I mean, so the cast is still stacked and it's going to be amazing. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. Once again, it's 2 weeks long, from June 28th to July 10th. But the good news is that we don't have to wait that long, because it's literally like the end of this month. Thank you, Lord, because there was some major speculation. And then I even mentioned it that last week. And then, of course, the news dropped and I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Anyways, moving on, I want to say a huge congratulations to Gabby Pizzolo, Gaten Matarazzo, Caleb McLaughlin, Sadie Sink, and everyone involved in Stranger Things, because this season is just ridiculous. I was able to watch all of season 4 already. I know. Hopefully you were able to too. I'm not gonna spoil anything. All I'm gonna say is it's ridiculous. I'm so glad that, and this is not a spoiler, because if you follow her, which you probably do, Gabriella Pizzolo is back, and she's a big friend of the podcast. We've had her on before. Wouldn't be surprised if we'll have her on again here shortly. I'm just so excited, and I'm so glad that she was able to return to this season and kind of still be with the show and with the story. I think it's wonderful. I love everything that they're doing. I mean, just the acting in this season is just ridiculous. Everyone really turned it up a notch this season, from the writing, from the acting, from the editing, from the cinematography, from all aspects. It's just, it's wild. And if you have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And huge congrats to everyone. And they are smashing and breaking all of the records, as they so deserved, so well deserved. Just incredible stuff. So congrats again. I literally like want to rewatch it all, because it's just so good, but it's so freaky. I don't know if I could put myself through it again. But yeah, congrats to all of them. And hopefully we can have one of them on soon. So we'll continue to do some work and try to figure something out. But I think it could be something really cool. And especially with Gaten now going to be in Dear Evan Hansen, I definitely want to do something with him with Stranger Things and all of that. So stay tuned. Hopefully we can get something in the works. But yeah, it's incredible. So love the show. Huge fan of all of them, and congrats to them. Moving on, we're going to move into the Drama Dictionary Word of the Week, because honestly, there hasn't been, like, other than, like, you know, Happy Trails and Into the Woods breaking, there hasn't been anything, you know, eye-catching in the headlines this week. So we're going to talk about some Drama Dictionary, and we're going to move on. We are going to talk this week, we're going to keep it in the theme of the episode, with Doubtfire and Suffs and all of these shows closing, unfortunately, we are going to talk about a strike. It's where like the sets are deconstructed and they are loaded out of the theater and they are removed from the theater, whether it's literally all parts of the stage, the set, the props, the costumes, the lights, the sound equipment, all of that. Everything it gets flipped over and it's going to be an empty theater just with seats. As they await what's going to be in the Stephen Sondheim theater next. So load-ins are when they bring everything into the theater, and then a load-out is kind of when they move everything. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to be like a load-out strike, because they are going on tour, so they may be able to keep some of the equipment. Obviously, they won't be able to keep all of it because the theaters differ. That's basically what it is. It's currently going on at the Stephen Sondheim right now. You can go walk past it and they'll be taking down the marquee. They'll be taking down all the posters and everything that you see. They'll be taking down this. You'll see like trucks and big black boxes or like just big boxes in general, and crates and stuff that has all of that stuff as they are striking the set and the show. So that's what a strike is in the theater world. That's this week's Drama Dictionary Word of the Week. I hope you learned something. And if not, sorry about it. But there you have it anyways. All right. That's all I have for you folks this week as far as the news and the intro and everything like that. So with that being said, let's turn it over to Jake Ryan Flynn, because this is such a fun interview and I know you all are going to love it. And we have some fan questions in this one. So this is really, really fun. So I hope you enjoy. Jake Ryan Flynn, curtain up. All right, so this week we have a fellow young adult actor on the podcast today. You may know him for his performance on Broadway in Mrs. Doubtfire and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or on Netflix's Sack Lunch Bunch. So everyone, welcome to Take a Bow, the superhero himself, Jake Ryan Flynn. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Oh my God, so excited to have you on. This has been long overdue.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course.
Very excited to be here.
Yes, I know there's a lot going on right now with you. You have finals this week. You're doing an Instagram takeover today, and you're doing this, and you're getting ready for a show. Like, thank you for doing this. Thanks for fitting me in, and I'm like so happy that this is happening. We're going to be able to talk about, like, with Doubtfire closing. Oh. I'm so excited to talk about Doubtfire.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's just finals, you know, just I'm so glad to be finished with school, because it feels like it's been a long year with school.
Was today the last day?
Today's Wednesday, so I have my final, I have my math and history final tomorrow, and then my math final on Friday, and I'm done.
So oh, that's I'm sick. So thrilled. Exciting. And then what grade is that?
I will be, freshman year, so I'll be sophomore next year.
So oh, wow. That's 10th, okay, that's awesome.
Which is crazy. It's going to normal high school.
You seem so much older. You're so mature. It's great.
Please.
Please. Well, the way I usually like to start these things is I like asking people, you know, what kind of inspired them to get into theater and to want to tell stories and entertain people.
Well, I wasn't an athletic child. We'll put it that way. And, I tried all the sports. I just didn't like it. And, my parents noticed that I was singing all the time. So they mm-hmm. put me in, Neverland Theater, which was a community theater kind of by my house. And I did shows there. I did like musical reviews, Peter Pan. And then, some of the people there were like, oh, you should audition for North Shore Music Theater, which is a regional theater. Which was really right by my house. Mom was like, I didn't even know they did auditions. So I ended up auditioning there, and I did a bunch of shows at North Shore. From there, an actor named Dwayne Clark, who's in Paradise Square right now, he filmed a video of me singing a song at like a bar. It was like Out Night, the actors sing a song. I mean, you know, starting at a bar at age 8.
Yeah.
And so singing the donkey song from Shrek, and he sent it to his agent, and that's how I got an agent, and that's how I got the audition for Charlie. So it was really all like North Shore Music Theater is where it all started, and I was it was such a joy to be able to work there, because that's how I got my audition for Charlie.
Wow, then, that is wild! It all started at a theater and at a bar.
Yeah, that's pretty casual. Much that's life. I mean, that's
that is life. That is live theater. I love it. That's hilarious. That's crazy though, because you started. I mean, you live in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I live outside of Boston.
So then, like, what is that like? Because I mean, Broadway is New York, so like that's a commute. You know, like what is it like coming back and forth to places?
Well, when I'm in a show, we usually we get an apartment, and my mom, dad, and grandparents all switch off with me. So like, let's say they're there for like a week or two, and then they switch off. So then everyone's seen the family. And then my brothers, and then on vacations, they come up and see the show, or they come and just hang out with me. Sure. And then when I'm auditioning, it's like going there and back kind of for the, I mean, we've gotten the ride down, we speed. So it's 3.5 hours instead of like 4.5. But we go there and back for like auditions, but now a lot of it's virtual. So it's been a lot of doing it in my home with a ring light and trying to figure out what the heck we're doing, because we're not filmmakers. So yeah, which has been in a way easier because we're really only like going, I mean, most of the callbacks are on Zoom as well. So I don't really have to like, we don't have to be away or miss school really. It's just kind of about doing the audition.
Totally. That's awesome. That's crazy though. I love I went through the same thing with my family with traveling back and forth from out of state to come an audition. Yeah. Like that's real stuff. Like it's you nuts. Literally coming back for a day and like at the end of the day, you're like drained. You know, it's crazy.
I remember the audition, my final audition for Charlie, like the final one, I had auditioned 6 times and I'd seen Something Rotten the day before my audition.
Oh yeah.
And so on my way back, this was the first cast recording I bought. And I was just I was in the car just belting out Something Rotten, listening to the cast recording because that was my way back because it was just a crazy, crazy week because it was like one of those things where like the audition, let's say whatever my callback was on Friday, but then they wanted me to stay till Sunday for like the final. So we ended up having to stay. Yeah. It was like, but yeah, so it's crazy going back and forth and doing it.
It is. My drive, so like I came from West Virginia, so my drive was like 7 hours one way.
Wow.
It was not fun. So my parents would be like, can we like try to move it like so that there's like 3 auditions in one day and then we can go back? That way we don't have to like stay. And then like sometimes it would work out, sometimes it doesn't. So like really like the parents are the superheroes for any child 100%. Actor, you know?
I'm lucky that my parents are so supportive in doing this because I mean, it's easy. I mean, it's really hard. It's easy to just be like, we can't do that. Like it's 4.5 hours away. I have 3 other brothers that are younger than me and they all play sports. So like, it's crazy. My brother Pat is hockey. My brother Joe is football and lacrosse. My brother Michael is lacrosse and baseball. So it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, it can get crazy. And I'm lucky that I have my grandparents who stay with me a bunch.
Yeah.
Because they're super helpful. So my mom and dad can see games and then be with me. So,
yeah, it takes a village. It takes a village. It's interesting that you say that because I was at Doubtfire. I saw you guys in the last week and sitting next to me was a girl and her mother. And she kind of said, are you a performer because you're cheering so loudly? And I was like, oh, like I've never heard that. But I mean, yes, I am. And she was like, so is she. And she was pointing to her daughter. And her daughter wants to come and audition to New York and they live in Philadelphia and it's an hour and a half, but they don't want to do the commute. And so that was like, that like hit me having that conversation. It's an hour and a half. And like, to me, that's nothing, but like to someone that's like a huge commitment and it's really difficult for some people. So really it's so easy to say, no, like we can't do that commute. So it's crazy what happens with the families of child actors and everything.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause it's like a lot of people like definitely want to be an actor, but they don't even really get their chance. So they're 8 till they're an adult when they can drive themselves because their parents have to work or they can't miss school. So it's interesting. It's interesting that you say that because like I've always been able to. I've always had just a great opportunity to be able to do it. But like, I know there's some people that are like, we just can't do that audition.
Right. And it's crazy to me because like, I've never thought of it in that way that like, it's something that is weird or like not necessarily weird or it's challenging, you know, because my parents have always been so, oh, we can make it work. We'll do it. We'll figure out a way.
Or like special in a way. Yeah. Like, oh, an audition is like a big thing to go.
Exactly.
And like, an audition is kind of like, oh, another audition, you know, like
totally
a normal.
We take it for granted almost, you know? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's fascinating. So then you mentioned, so you got an agent and then was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory your first ever professional like audition then? Or like Broadway audition?
It was, actually Finding Neverland.
Was it
I auditioned
really?
For Finding Neverland.
Oh my God.
The tour, I think about 5 times for
really?
The tour. And I also had auditioned for Fun Home.
Oh yeah.
As well. But a replacement for Fun Home.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that part. And Finding Neverland, it was like, because Charlie, the way it worked, it was like I auditioned for the workshop, but 3 times I didn't get it.
Wow.
And then later down, like I want to say like 4 months later when it was coming to Broadway, I auditioned 3 times for Broadway and got the part.
That's crazy.
So like in between that, I auditioned for Finding Neverland again.
Yeah.
So it was like, So it was like Finding Neverland. We're like, oh my. And once I didn't get Finding Neverland, I was like, and Charlie, we're like, I don't know. This just is like hard. Like it was like three, no, 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 getting so far and then not getting it. And I think even Fun Home, I had a callback. At least, I think I was in the final as well. So it was like heartbreak, heartbreak, heartbreak. And then Charlie came back. We're like really, like it was so, it was a, like a wild ride to get to Charlie doing it again after not getting it. And yeah, so yeah, it was like my third, like really big professional audition.
For sure. I mean, the no's stink. They're hard to deal with, but it makes those yeses so worth it and so fulfilling.
The yeses are exciting.
Yeah, you know, worth it. But yeah, you mentioned it. You kicked us out. You guys, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory kicked us out and Finding Neverland out of the Love Fontaine.
Oh no, this is getting awkward.
Yeah, this is getting a little awkward, but it's fine.
And then Tina Turner kicked us out.
Yeah, no, what the heck, true. Man? But also heck? Another great show. I was actually like hesitant seeing Charlie for the longest time because I was like, no, they replaced us. But I did see it and I loved it. I actually loved Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and I thought it would definitely have like a wonderful run on Broadway. And it totally did. I mean, it ran for
We had
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
10 months. We had like 10 months.
Which is like a long time for shows nowadays.
And at that time, it was Broadway debut. And so I was like wanted to be back home by the time it closed.
Really?
So it was actually, though I obviously didn't want the show to close, it was nice for me because we'd be able to like do the 10-month run, close the show, but then be back home and, you know, be with my brothers and my friends, you know, like, because I was missing them by the time we were after the 10-month run. Because actually it was a full year by the time I was back with rehearsals and previews.
Right.
So it was nice, though I wish it would have ran longer. It was a really nice experience for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, you said it, Broadway debut. What was that like, you know, being on Broadway for the first time on a stage and performing?
Amazing and terrifying.
Yeah, I bet.
it was crazy. I remember on opening night, the performance on opening night, I was like up at 7 a.m. with just anxiety, like, and that I've never experienced before. I will never forget. I it was after the fact, but my dad was like, for a second, I was like worried. I was like, is he even going to be able to do the show?
Oh my
like,
God.
I was so nervous. Like, it was like just the, I always say it's my process, like in quotes, like it's like the anxiety. And then like, is he going to be able to do the show? And then I go out and somehow he does it. Like, but yeah, so it was so exciting and so nerving. I mean, I remember at the opening night party, it was like, I had like got to the party. It was crazy. And I was one of the first people to leave. Cause I was just like, I'm tired. This was the most insane day ever. Like there was just so much emotions happening all at once, but
also how old were you when you made your Broadway?
I was 10.
10.
10.
Unreal.
Which was nuts.
Yeah.
Like one of my teachers, I think it was Mrs. Cullen, said, because I always said, oh, I'll be on Broadway. She was like, and I believed him, but I never thought it would be when he was 10.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, it's crazy. Because she had me in like kindergarten and stuff. So.
Aww, that's so sweet. So talk to me, because like you said, I mean, you're 10 years old, you're super young, and you're playing Charlie Bucket on Broadway, which is like huge. I mean, it's a huge role. It's like the title role, basically. So you obviously, because of the labor laws and everything, you had to split the role with two others, because it was three of you, with two other actors. Talk to me about like how that rotation kind of worked. Was it like a set schedule in that time? Like when you weren't on, did you have to be at the theater? Were you able to go home to like Massachusetts and visit? What was it like?
It was interesting. It wasn't until like after the nominations for the Tonys came out that it was set. Because a lot of times we just find out the week before. It was like pretty different. It was like, especially during previews, it was like, we only knew like the first four shows, and then we would know like it wasn't set for a while until like, so if we opened April 29th, so the Tony nominations would have came out 23rd we opened, so the Tony nominations would have came out like May 1st mm-hmm. or like 5th or something. So like it wasn't till, and we started previews like in March, so it wasn't until like all of that was over until we had a set schedule. And it was actually, it was a really great schedule for me, because it was like, so let's say I would stand by as just in case if one of the other Charlies got sick,
okay.
Had a show, day off, stand by, had a show. So it was like a day and a half off, if you will. Like I would have a day off, then I would just be there just in case, and then I would do the show the next day.
Right.
So it was a really great schedule. And then sometimes we'd do like five shows in a row. Mm-hmm. 1 week, like a Charlie would do five shows in a row. But I mean, it was great. I got to see other shows.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, which is rare because Doubtfire, I never got to see other shows because it was eight times a week, which also was a different experience, yes. Because I hadn't done eight times a week before.
Yep.
So that was like crazy, like being like, I have to do a Wednesday mat too.
What are mat days?
So that was an interesting experience. But like, yeah, the Charlie schedule was great.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's fascinating when the shows that like have the multiple people playing one part, because it's like, how does that work? How do they put that in? Is it... It's, I don't know. I'm curious to know how that...
I can't even imagine Matilda, because Matilda was four.
Right.
So it would probably be, with the eight, like it'd be like 2 days off almost, yeah. Or something, which is interesting.
And with Neverland, I mean, it was the same thing, because I don't know, when you auditioned for it, did you audition for just one role? It was rare that it was like one role.
I auditioned for the littlest kid.
Oh, you did?
Like I was... But I was too old. Like I wasn't that age. Like I was 10, mm-hmm. and I don't know how old the part was supposed to be. Maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, because there's that's crazy switching. It's so interesting.
Yeah,
it's,
especially because like with Finding Neverland, so like there were four of the seven, or four of the six of us, because we had seven originally and then we had six. But four in the six of us played two characters, so like we wouldn't know the whole scheduling thing. Until like
is so interesting. So you played two parts,
right?
And it was different on every given day.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
I was actually the only one to play all four parts in the show, and I only played all four parts for 1.5 shows, so I love to mention that. It was a total
for 1.5
that I was playing that fourth part, but I'm all for it. It was actually the little one, the little Michael. But yeah, it was crazy, because same boat, like we wouldn't know until literally like Tuesday morning we would get the schedule for the week. Like we had no idea what was happening, what character we were going to be. Sometimes during the show we were like, who are we right now? Like what's going on? it was so fun. But like that, it's the beauty of it. Like that's so, it's something that like, it's just an added thing of like keeps you on your toes, you know, like on your days off.
Added excitement.
Yeah, totally. Like with Charlie too, like on standby and stuff, you're able to listen to the show. So it kind of keeps things fresh, but it's also like you're kind of resting and relaxing, which is cool. Like, I don't know.
I actually went to Finding Neverland while I was auditioning for Charlie originally. And I loved it.
Oh my God.
I saw it. I waited in line to get a rush seat at 10 a.m. And I was in the like the fourth row, at fourth or third row. It was very exciting. I loved it.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah. I remember those rush days. I would wait in line.
That's exactly how I got my Charlie ticket.
Because I'd come the day before my audition to get to try and get that. To get the ticket close up.
Right? It's exactly, and really? For like $40, like that's how I got my Charlie ticket, because I knew the house people. I was like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to say hi to the people at the box office and be like, hey, can I get a ticket for Charlie, rush ticket?
That's the best, when you're friendly with the box office people,
right?
It opens a whole new world.
Well, because that's how I would get tickets to my own show, Finding Neverland. Like, my family and I would just be waiting, because, like, you can't pay five people to go see a Broadway show at full price every time you go see it. It's
crazy. Oh, yeah. Too expensive.
Yeah, right? Okay, so I want to talk about, like, you're a young performer, and you've been in two Broadway shows. And you have incredible experience and everything, but you've worked with some of the best actors in those two shows. I mean, these companies have been led by Christian Borle and Rob McClure, who are like Broadway icons. I want to ask you, like, what is that leadership like, and how important is that for you as like a young performer and having someone that you can look up to and kind of just like watch?
I would say Rob McClure and Christian Borle are the two greatest ad libbers I've ever seen in my entire life. They are absolutely the things that they've come up with in the rehearsal room, like just the jokes and the added bits, like Charlie with Christian and Rob with Doubtfire. It is absolutely incredible. They're the best leaders. Mm-hmm. In times of stress, they are nothing but kind. I know they're under a lot of pressure because they're just the lead of the show, right. but they don't show it. You wouldn't know. Uh-huh. He's just doing the show with ease. They're doing the show with ease, which is amazing, but they're just so talented. It's just like to watch them like do it as if it's like they're doing the show as if it's like, oh yeah, you know, just an average, like they're just another doing day. Like, Rob, they're the nicest people ever. It's amazing. Like, and Rob and Doubtfire, the track is just absolutely the quick changes and the stuff.
It's nuts.
And the props and the just the there's so much stuff. I remember there was one moment where like he was dropping things. He was like, oh, prop hell, prop hell, prop hell.
Oh my god.
Like that was always a joke because he has so many props with the brooms and then the spatchcock chicken.
Yep.
But it's they're amazing to watch.
Yeah.
And amazing people.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just something, it's so cool to like listen to your story and say, you know, on your way back to Charlie in the Chocolate Factory audition, you were listening to Something Rotten, which obviously Rob and Brad Oscar and like it kind of like full circle there as they were in it.
That was the I remember when I did the reading for Doubtfire. Uh-huh. And it's the same creative team as Something Rotten, like the same writers, really? The Kirkpatrick brothers.
That's awesome.
The Kirkpatrick wrote Something Rotten. It was Rob. It was Michael James Scott, who was the original bard.
Yeah.
And it was Brad. It was Mario Cantone in the reading, but now it's Brad Oscar, who was one of my favorite. Is one of my favorite actors ever.
Oh my god!
When I saw Something Rotten. I mean, it was like the something. It was the ensemble of Something Rotten. So yeah. Like, it was like crazy to me that I was like placed in like a cast, but it was like me in the Something Rotten cast, and it was just absolutely amazing because that is my favorite Broadway show ever.
Really?
Favorite musical comedy.
That's awesome.
So it's like one of those things. It was crazy that happened because I was going to go see Wicked. Mm-hmm. But when I was like 9, I was too nervous to sit not with my mom because they only had single seats. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, all right, let's go see Something Rotten. That was the best decision that has ever happened.
Thank
because
God you didn't
it closed. It was at the end of its run. So I wouldn't have seen the show.
Wow.
So just to be in that room with people that I've admired admired all during Charlie, and to just be like working with them and to consider them friends is mm-hmm. just like amazing.
Yeah. And you talk about not being able to see the show. I just want to mention, we're obviously going to get into the process of Doubtfire. I would not have been able to see Mrs. Doubtfire if it wasn't for you, the superhero, J. Cryan Flynn. You saved the show. You literally gave the show a final week. Because otherwise, it would have had the show, their final show, without even knowing they had their final show. Talk to me about what it was like to, we'll get into like the whole coming in, coming out, all of that stuff. But just like the final week, give me a rundown and how special it was to actually be able to share that. I mean, you were in the original Broadway cast, to share the final weeks with your original Broadway cast.
Well, So I found out at 6 a.m. I was woken up by my mom at 6 a.m.
On Tuesday.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
So I did. I had to be there for the 3 o'clock matinee.
No.
So I wake up at, it was crazy. So I wake up at 6 a.m. I tapped up. So I'm waked. They're like, Doubtfire, I need you. I'm like, it doesn't even seem real. It still doesn't seem real because it's like, this only happens in movies.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't seem like it would happen in real life. So I wake up. I get in the car at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'm driving. I'm texting with my stage manager. It's like, what's your ETA? Let me send you the new script because it had changed since January 9th when we closed and then reopened. So I'm like reading through those. I'm like, oh, that's the same. I think that. Oh, here's some new lines. So I'm like learning that mm-hmm. whilst warming up.
Yeah.
Because I have to be. Because I knew I wouldn't have time because I have to rehearse. I get there at 11:45. I'm pulling in. Still don't have a hotel yet. because, you know, they're figuring that out. So I'm pulling in. We have our bags. We pull into the parking lot across the street from the theater. We're putting it at the stage door. Our COVID safety person comes out with this crazy test.
Oh, my God.
And I had done a rapid before just to make sure I didn't drive all the way there to be positive, right, which would be terrible because my dad and my brother Joe had it.
Oh, wow.
So it's insane I made it through the whole week.
Yeah.
She comes out with this crazy test. Now I'm like, I'm going to fail this. This is no. There's no way I'm going to make it out. It comes back negative. So I can go in. I get there. I go in at 12:30 and my dresser Lisa is like, okay, let's see what fits. Like a 10-minute quick what fits in the show, like pulling out costumes that weren't supposed to be used. And then so Lisa and Michael, the wardrobe people, are just putting this stuff on me. And then we get a knock like, we need Jake for rehearsal. And Lisa's like, okay. And so I'm running to rehearsal from like 12:45 to 2:30. I'm rehearsing the show and the new stuff. And then I went on for the show at 3.
Wow. So no put it in was or anything. Crazy. Just like rehearsal.
And some scenes I didn't even get to do. It's just like, you know it.
Wow. That's insane.
It's been 4.5 months. So it's like, sure. I remember like sitting down and one scene being like, I haven't done this yet.
Oh my God.
Go for the best.
Did it kind of come back to you like when you were on the stage though? Like,
no, yeah, I wasn't. It came back to me. It was just like the new things, and I found like me like second guessing and forgetting things that were never changed because I was thinking about the new things.
Right.
So like it'd just be little blocking changes. Or like I just got to remember that, and I had like I had the first line in the show now, but it was too music. So if I was too slow, it would mess up Rob's entrance. So I'm like, I can't screw up this line. And it's like the curtain's there, and there's all these people, and I'm like, ah.
That's amazing.
But it was. It was good. I was kind of like, let's just see what happens, you know?
Totally. We'll
fix it for Tuesday. That was my mindset.
Yeah, that's crazy. Did you ever like, I don't know, did you kind of plan on coming to the closing show? Like, did you ever think that you were going to be able to share the closing of the show with the company again?
I mean, at least definitely not on stage. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think I'd be performing in the show. And also, I was living in – I mean, I live in Boston. Right. So it wasn't like I would like be able to just walk. We would have to plan it. Right. So not really. I really didn't think I'd be there. We hadn't planned it yet.
Right.
And then phone call.
Well, I must say, I mean, we're talking about closing. But I have to say it made me think about the opening where you had these iconic shoes. The Doubtfire custom made shoes, these Chuck Taylors, it was everything.
So my parents surprised me because Custom Broadway, you can follow them on Instagram, custom_Broadway, like literally took Converse shoes and just painted. My mom was like, oh, just do something Doubtfire. She's like, oh, I'll just make it up. And just creates the greatest thing. Like, just, oh, I'll make it up.
Totally.
Like that's just, oh, whatever. I'm just putting it together. Like, just the greatest shoes ever. Like, it has all of our faces on there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It has a signature from Doreen, who is a cast member who passed away during COVID. It was, like, just amazing. And it was great to wear them to opening night because and I forgot them. You know, I wasn't I should have brought them for closing, but I wasn't expecting.
Oh, my God.
You know.
It's okay. They made the one appearance. You don't want to get them dirty. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. You don't want to overuse it. It's got to be like a special thing.
I'm on your side with that. It was like you got to bring them out for the photos and everything, the big blue carpet moment, all of that fun
stuff. Theater mania.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, theater mania. So talk to me about this whole process with Doubtfire. When did you join the show? Was it in Seattle or were you in the readings? When did you join it?
I did the first like official reading in May 2019.
2019. Wow.
And then we went to Seattle. Well, so when I did the reading, I didn't like, it wasn't like I did the reading. Oh, it's going to Broadway or, oh, it's got like, I didn't know going into the reading. I just, you know, ooh, the reading, Mrs. Doubtfire. And so then we heard it was going to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of June, I assumed I was going to have to re-audition. Like I wasn't. And if it was going to Seattle, who knows? Seattle was in the fall. I mean, Broadway was so far. Like who even knows if I could be in the part? So then I got a call that they were offering me Broadway in Seattle, month later. And I'm like, what? So that was crazy. So we go to Seattle. We started rehearsals in October. We went in November. We started performances in Seattle in November and we did performances till January 9th, 2020.
Oh my God.
Fun year for us all.
Yeah.
And then we were supposed to open April 5th. And we started previews March 11th or March 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And we had three previews. before we shut down on the 15th.
Right.
We did three shows for a month. It was supposed to be a month.
Yeah.
And then we obviously the whole COVID thing. And then we came back not thinking I was coming back because my voice had changed and I was like 6 inches taller.
Right.
But I couldn't believe the creative team and everyone. They brought all the kids back. It was amazing. Like they didn't have to do it and they did. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. So then we came back in our first preview was October 21st, 2021. Then we had 6 weeks of previews and opened December 5th, 2021. Then
oh my God.
Omicron hit and I got COVID along with multiple of the other casts and we had to close for like 10 days. Uh-huh. So that happened. Then we reopened in December. Then people weren't coming to a lot of the shows and we lost a lot of money from COVID. So we had to close January 9th.
Right.
Go on hiatus to reopen in March. But then it was moved to April. So then I was too old for the part. Even before, so at this point I was way too old.
Right.
So they brought in new. I mean, at this point it was like. So then they brought in new kids. I did the cast recording on April 5th.
Wow.
Which is coming out soon.
Yes.
I don't know when, but it's soon.
I'm so excited.
And so then I thought I was done after the cast recording. I was like, this will be the last time I'll sing. What the hell? And then I was wrong, because then a short month later. Doing the show again. So it was a great full circle moment to be there, to open it even after COVID and then to close it with the cast was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was like amazing. The cast were saying that it was emotional for them because they watched me grow up with the show. Like I started off 12. Mm. I was 12 when I did it originally and now I'm 15 and a half.
Right.
So it was like a full watch me grow up. So it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a wild but unforgettable experience, you know, all of the things that has happened with the show. I want to ask you, when you came back to the show, like with your voice changing and everything, and they had to like, they obviously had to rewrite the music. Yes.
Nope.
They didn't.
It is in the original key.
No way.
I sing the song in the original key with the exclusion of one note, which I take an alternate down. But for the most part, it is all in the key that Annalise Scarpacci sings.
Oh my God.
So
I totally didn't know that. So
it's not low. We'll call it a journey.
It's not low. And I have to say, I saw the show and I was like, his voice, like it's changed. We know that. But it's like, it's sitting really well. Like you sounded great.
Thank you.
I was like, this is impressively high for like a just changed voice.
So yeah, it was, I thank my vocal coach, Noelle Smith, who, really helped me through. We worked on it all during COVID.
Uh-huh.
So it would be easier. And as I did it, it got easier and easier. And, Chris York also helped me very much too.
Yes.
So it was a great journey. And even after January 9th, even coming back to the show, it was even better.
Right.
Because I had been like, oh, I'm done with the show. I'll just sing songs that an adult should, a male should sing. That's not like that I would just sing normally. And so that really opened the voice up to be able to do it. So, it was great to be able to do it. And, in the mask up high.
Yeah, you did it. Hey, it's over now. You can just celebrate.
It's good. Now,
no matter what
we happens, say it, but then it's going to London. They might call me.
Right.
I mean, for all we know.
Literally. Oh my God. That would be amazing. I totally see that. London, that's sick. Go do it. That's
or do it in British accent.
Maybe they'll like be like, hey, Jake, do you want to play Doubtfire? Like, that would be
please whatever they want.
What, I mean, pull my arm, I guess, you know. Incredible. I don't know, like that. I want to ask you about the first time you saw him in those Rob, that is, in the Mrs. Doubtfire look, because that's literally, I still can't get over it. It's amazing, and the process of how quickly they do it is just even more impressive.
The first time I saw it, we had because out front of the theater there's photos of us playing guitar.
Uh-huh.
We did, which are different than what, because we end up taking different photos. But before we went to Seattle,
okay,
we had a photo shoot with Rob as Doubtfire and the family, pretty much. And so I walked in and I saw them putting on the makeup and the mask, and it was it was shocking. It does not look like Rob.
Yeah,
it's a full transformation. It's It's amazing what they can do with the mask, right? And then they blending his makeup with the mask, and then the wig and the glasses, like, fully transforms. It was amazing. Like, it was so exciting.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, the whole time during rehearsals, you're like, ooh, what is it gonna look like? What's like? I mean, that's what you're waiting for. So it was so exciting to see him. And when we were remember in Seattle when we were teching the show, we'd see him only in the Doubtfire for so long that when we were coming down with the hotel, me and Annalise, Rob got off at his phone and came down. We're like, Your face. And we hadn't seen his face for so long as we had been teching all the scenes with Doubtfire. Yeah, it was amazing seeing it for the first time.
I'm like so curious from seeing the show. I'm so curious. Like, it looks so real and so incredible. Like, from the audience, like, I'm dying to be like, what is it like close up? And I wonder, like, how, I mean, because I feel like you may be able to tell like closer up, but from the audience, it's like, no, there's literally, once he puts it on, there's nothing on him. You like totally forget it's like makeup.
It's amazing the tricks they can do, because the mask, it's really like just like a pull off thing. It's not like it's like this whole, because you just like rip it off. I mean, his fastest quick change is 18 seconds, I think.
And I love the fact that he does it on the stage. Like, they totally like reveal the secret of it, you know?
The quick change on the at the end of Act 1. Yeah, that's cool. It's like so fast, and like it's so choreographed, especially like in Fire, Charity's number.
Oh my God.
The Doubtfire is dressing him. Mm-hmm. It's like on the music, it's, I am putting my pants on, hold the shirt out for him. Like, I heard them when they were rehearsing. Like, it's all like, put the shoes on now, line. It's like, it's so cool how they did that. Like, it's amazing that they do it on stage. Like,
so cool. It's unbelievable. And I can't believe, like, because obviously, like, they have, like, professionals doing it, like, backstage, you know, like, makeup people and everything. But, like, on the stage, it's, like, it's on Rob or it's on the ensemble. It's, like, it's wild. It's so cool. Truly, that show was fascinating. And I'll be shocked if Rob doesn't win the Tony, I have to say. I think he's, like, my leader for this season.
So bad.
Yeah. So
he
good.
He's so good.
He's literally playing two roles in one show. No one else is doing that this season. That's all I have to say.
And no break. It's not like, right. I think the only break he has in the show is during What the Hell, which is the Three Kids number.
Yeah.
So the
and that's
3 minutes that
within
song
the
is.
First 15 minutes of the show. So like he's really doing
exactly.
Like,
it is crazy.
Yeah.
It's literally like one scene into the next. Yeah. Like he just doesn't leave. And if he's leaving the stage, he's changing.
Right.
So it's not like, and even at intermission, he's like putting new makeup on, getting ready for Act Two. It's like he doesn't stop.
Unbelievable. Jake.
Tony.
Yeah. Tony, come on. I want to know, like, have you, so I didn't realize that the beatbox, like the what is it called? The
loop machine?
The loop machine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't know that was like actually him doing it on stage until like he had shared it on his social media. Have you ever tried that? Like, I feel like that would be so cool.
I have not tried it, but I was once in his dressing room. And there's a joke because I wrote a musical called A Surprise Party for Sue that was like a joke among the cast.
Yes.
So I was just in his dressing room talking, and he took the loop machine and started playing with it. He'd be like, a surprise party for Sue. And it's like,
no,
it's I want to buy one of those machines because that's like something that like,
right?
For like creative writing songs, that sounds like amazing to like just punch it on that because it's so interesting. I remember him like it was – he even did it since the reading. He like learned it and just figured it out. And it's gone – the loop song has gone through many, many iterations. But like, I mean, it's all live. It's crazy that he does it live and it's on him. And sometimes it doesn't work. Like there's been shows where like it just – something skips or repeats. Like I remember Rob once came off stage. He was like, it was great. Good Act One. The loop machine made me poop a bit.
No, my God.
I'm ready for two. Like it, literally it's like sometimes when you hear it going off, everyone's so nervous. You're like, oh my God, fix, go back together.
Right.
It's nuts.
That's hilarious. It's so fascinating. I totally was like, okay, this is like the sound guy, obviously. Like, this is just Rob doing like really great timing with like hitting the button. And like, it's crazy that that's actually him.
Nope, it's all live.
Yeah, that's wild.
Puppets and he's like hitting buttons with puppets on his hand.
Yeah.
Like,
and like doing
how does that not voices? Give you anxiety? Like, I'm sitting there like, how is he doing it?
Yeah, like, literally. Like, I mean, no wonder it can sometimes go wrong. I mean, it's just, there's so much going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Tony, anyway.
Moving on. Jake Ryan Flake.
I'm just going to keep placing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seriously, it's so cool. So in the processes that I didn't realize that like once you did the reading, you got offered both Seattle and Broadway. So when you did Seattle, it was coming back to Broadway. So when did you find out, like, during the pandemic? So, like, once Doubtfire was open on Broadway for, like, 4 previews, then a pandemic hit and we had a shutdown. So when did you find out that you would be in the show, and what was that process like for you, waiting for, and with the anticipation and everything? Like, what was that experience like for you?
It was like June 2021, mm-hmm. that the show was coming back, and then I found out that they were going to keep me no matter what I looked like or what I sounded like.
Wow.
And then we did like something in July, just like see what they needed to change or anything. And yeah, it was, because I really didn't, I just was shocked. Like, I mean, the part's 12, I'm 15. Like, I didn't expect to do the part. So just like, it was like, it was, I'm taller than Rob now. Mm-hmm. So it was like amazing to be able to like, to be able to come back and like do the show.
Right.
And so it, just to open it, like, it was incredible.
When I saw the show, and it's like, I mean, obviously, like, it was after your like fourth time around with the show. It was, you were taller than Rob, and I think that it added something to the story of, like, I don't even know what it was, but, like, it's so rare to see that on Broadway where, like, it seems like all these kids have to be, like, in a slant depending on, like, the ages and all of that. Like, everything's so particular. But in the real world, it's, like, I'm taller than both of my parents. So, like, it's possible, you know? Like,
it's interesting because, like, I mean, even, like, being taller than Annalise, most brothers, even younger brothers, are taller than their older sister. I mean, that's just how it is. And, like, I mean, my neighbor Bryn, like, she's going to be taller than her dad. And he's 5'7", and her mom's 5'9", or something, and she's going to be taller than him. So it's not unrealistic. It happens.
Exactly. And I think that you and the producers of Doubtfire, of course, that it was so brilliant that they were able to be accepting of that and kind of welcome that, because, like, that is something that happens, and it never happens on Broadway, but it happens in real life, and, like, it's okay that happens, like, you know.
I know that was the best part, like, to be like a kid whose voice changes and is taller than the part is supposed to be, but still doing the show,
right?
And like, because that doesn't, I mean, the only time that's really happened is 13, the musical.
Right.
Was when there was a kid with voice changes on the stage. So it's really rare to see a kid with a voice change.
Totally.
That's not 18 playing an adult, playing a kid.
Yeah.
It was, that was a great thing.
It's awesome. And I was so curious, like, what they were going to do moving forward. Obviously, they brought in people that were pretty short, a couple other performers that are super young. And short.
Yeah, there was a 10 and 11 year old. So they went back to like the original, what I was when I was in the reading, pretty much.
Right. And I was curious to see like what they would do. Would they keep your kind of look and height and everything, or would they go back to that? But it was cool that they had it for that period of time with you in the show.
Yeah.
It was sick. I was like, this is so cool. And I wish more shows would do it. And hopefully now that you did it, more shows will be willing to do it, you know?
Be nice.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on. I have some fan questions for you. I have two fan questions for you.
Okay.
We have one from Archie Ansdale, @Archie_Ansdale. He wants to know, or they want to know, what it's like being in an original Broadway cast. And you were with two, so you have experienced two different experiences. So
it's incredible because it's like you're the only one that's ever done that part. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're introducing the part to the audience, if you will. And it's like to be that, and also just to be a part of the creative process, like to come in like and building the show, like seeing a show in different iterations, like seeing it from the reading mm-hmm. to what it is, to what it was when we closed. It's incredible to be a part of that process and do the previews and like feeling out the laughs and like fixing what works and adding new changes. It can be crazy and can be stressful, but it's the best part. And it's my favorite part of doing a Broadway show is the leading up to opening the show, is rehearsing it and like doing the previews and adding things. Ooh, did that go well? Ooh, the note sessions and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the best part of it for me.
Yeah.
And doing the cast recording.
Oh yeah.
Like when I heard myself in the cast recording, that was an amazing moment to hear myself like on an original Broadway cast album. Like that is really cool.
Doesn't get much better than that. Doesn't get old, I'm sure, either. So it's awesome. So cool. And you kind of talked about it earlier, like, especially with those leaders like Christian Borrow and Rob McClure, like learning from them and seeing how they are willing to take the risk in the preview and rehearsal process. Obviously, like, if you're not an original Broadway cast, you don't necessarily have that sort of freedom to play with the role like that. So
yeah,
I definitely agree with you. Like, that is one of the coolest things about it. And like, now forever, like, you could say, like, you originated Christopher Hilliard, and like, this character was kind of based on the choices that you made and what felt right in your body, and everything else is that you laid the blueprint.
I have a joke that I left the show and then replaced myself.
Yes,
in a way, because you know.
Oh my god!
Thing. So
brilliant. They just missed you so much that they needed you back.
I had to so replace good. Myself.
Yeah, you just had to replace yourself. All right.
I also jokingly called it a tour because I like got paid per diem.
Yeah.
So. Because I was in Boston. Like, it's the touring production.
The touring production. That's hilarious. Moving on, we have one more fan question. It says, what is your... this one is from @DianaDemore_. They want to know what your funniest story from Mrs. Doubtfire is.
Funniest story from... Well, there was a phone call at 6 a.m. No.
Oh, my God.
But like a funniest... well, I'll share a mishap.
Okay, that's fair.
That happened because it was so there was one time where there's the apartment sets. It's like two pieces that come on from the right and left side of the wing, and they connect mm-hmm. to make the whole thing, but they track on. And the nightmare scene with all the Doubtfires in Seattle, they all entered from behind the apartment because it used to take place in the apartment. So we all shuffled on, like, I mean, there had to have been 20-something of us. So, and there was a time where Brad and Jay were also dressed as Doubtfires, and we would quick change and be a Doubtfires.
I was
so that changed. So Brad and Jay were also in Doubtfires.
No way.
So there's all of us, so we're all shuffling on, and out of nowhere, the set stopped. Now picture 10 on one side, 10 on the other, plus wardrobe staff, all like, what's going on? Wait, what? We see Rob go out for his quick change, and we have the first lines, me and Annalise, we go through the door. So we're like, well, we're doing the scene. No one said hold yet. So I'm opening the door, and then the set moves. So we jump off for it to come back in, to go on, and then just do the scene. So that was crazy.
That's wild.
Oh, and then there was one. This was a devastating moment on my part.
No, no.
So there's – it actually – I don't think you saw this part because it got cut after.
Oh, okay.
But there was a part where Wanda Soner came in the new clean apartment. And she says something like, wow, Mr. Hillard, great improvement. And then Daniel says, well, I've been acquiring some new domestic skills. And me and Lydia laugh. Ha 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 ha. It's like a funny joke. And so that was the bit. And so one night I'm sitting there like just thinking about like notes. And then so she comes and she goes, wow, very nice, Mr. Hillard, big improvement. And I thought I missed it. So I laugh.
Oh, my God.
So I jump the cue. Yeah. I jump the line. And everyone's – and I'm like, oh, I guess Annalise forgot to do it. This is me thinking in my head because I thought I almost was late.
Right.
So everyone's looking at – I got to laugh, but everyone's like looking at me. Annalise is like laughing, trying to keep it in. And Rob is like, yeah, I've been acquiring some new domestic skills. Like, look, everyone's looking at me. And I'm like, what the – and then I just realized, oh, my God, I never had the cue to do the line. So I jumped the cue. So that was funny.
The good thing is that kind of works with your character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, wow, what a great home. Ha ha ha. Like just like right. Something random.
It was.
And then we thought it would be funny if I just laugh at everything. Now it's a bit.
Yeah.
It could be like, what do you want to eat? Ha ha ha.
Right.
Oh.
It's totally.
So that was an amazing mishap.
Yeah, for sure. It's totally not out of pocket for your character. So it totally works. I'm sure no one noticed, but that is pretty awesome. I love when those happen, like being a part of the audience, like, cause there's nothing better than like when you're watching a show and then like someone breaks, like there just isn't.
Also, I like laugh at things. Like I'm not, I would say, unprofessional actor.
Right.
Like I will laugh at things. And then also it's terrible when there's Jake and Annalise are on stage. It's bad because if something funny happens and then we clock eyes, it's like
Jake and Annalise. Oh my God.
Choking it in. Like it's
I love
so
it.
Bad. but it's, you know, live theater. Live
theater. But that's the beauty of it. Whatever happens is like the audience is getting a special treatment. So I love your guys's, you and Annalise's, like your little like sibling relationship in real life that has kind of developed, Yeah, it's so cute. Yeah,
fully.
I love Annalise.
Live imitating art.
Yep. Yeah, Annalise is the best. We've had her on the show like, I think she's the only one that's been on twice or more than once. She's the best. She's literally.
I guess you'll have to have me back.
I'm going to have to get you both on together. That would be hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
The both.
That would be dangerous, but I'm here for it.
Exactly. That would be. We don't know what that would be like.
Right. We'll get nothing done, but that's okay. It's great. Well, Jake, I mean, honest to God, like your stories, your experience through Doubtfire and Charlie, like they're so cool. They're so unique. And what you've done so far in such a young and new, I guess, kind of career, it's awesome. So like huge congrats. And thank you for joining me this week, because I think you've told some really cool stories that a lot of people will enjoy.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad that I got to come on. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Of course. I'm so glad this worked out. And I'm so glad the timing worked out with Doubtfire just closing. And now you were able to kind of continue the Doubtfire legacy for a little bit. for an hour of your time. This was great. And I appreciate all of the wonderful things that you brought on. If people want to like check you out and kind of keep up with all the fun things that you're doing and what you're doing next, where can they find you?
Well, my Instagram is Jake_Ryan_Flynn. On Monday, June 6th, I'm doing a concert with Eli Bolin, who is the writer of Sack Lunch Bunch. It's called Eli Bolin Has No Friends, and I am playing one of the people of the friends he doesn't have. I will be singing songs, Grandma's Got a Boyfriend from Sack Lunch Bunch, and a new song that he's writing for a new show. And Ava Brigula, who's also a part of Sack Lunch, will be singing the song with me. It's a duet. So it's at 54 Below. You can get your tickets now. So please come and see the show on the 6th. And you can follow me on Instagram and keep up with what I'm doing.
Amazing.
It's probably something stupid because I do stupid things.
No, but you're doing all sort of amazing things. And you mentioned you're writing your own show, Frederick Douglass, the musical. I mean, doing all kinds
It's Frederick Douglass musical. That's like that's the emotional one. And then I have Surprise Party for Sue, the dumb musical comedy.
Oh, of course.
Which is we want options. We got the emotional one, the Dear Evan Hansen kind of emotional one. And then we have the.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Diversity.
Yes.
Versatile.
Yes. Versatile actor and writer. And of course. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Everyone check him out on Instagram if you haven't already. And follow along, because this isn't going to be the last of Jake Ryan Flynn. That's for sure. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Take a bow, Jake Ryan Flynn. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I had such a great time with you talking about what it's like to be a kid in the entertainment industry and what it's like to have families supporting you and kind of the necessity of that. Shout out to all of the parents out there who are doing what they can for their kids and supporting them, even if it's in a regional space, even if they can't commit to travel and everything like that. Y'all are driving us to the theater anyways in our local community, even if the local community is literally 50 minutes away. I know all the stories, so I appreciate you, all the parents and what they do here, and especially Jake and I's. We could both vouch that we've had some serious sacrificing going on in our family to make our dreams a possibility and a reality. So huge shout out to him. Congratulations again on a wonderful run in Mrs. Doubtfire and an unforgettable run in Mrs. Doubtfire, literally for the entire company. I mean, that is just a roller coaster of emotions the past 3 years have been. It's incredible. I loved the show. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Rob McClure does run away with the Tonys. With that being said, we are having our Tony rundown and previews coming at you all next week, which I'm very excited for. I'm going to try to get on a couple special guests so we can do like a little panel of like, not necessarily judging because I don't like the word judging, but like we're going to be reviewing and like kind of like giving our predictions and or our personal favorites So very exciting stuff coming your way next week. And I just love this episode. I love talking to the kids in the entertainment industry and kind of talking about their stories and what it's like to grow up with a family around them in a company such as these wonderful people that we've been able to work with. So super fun, super full circle moment with Jake and I, and I hope you all enjoyed it. So with that being said, thank you all for listening to this week's episode, and I hope to see you all next week because we have a really fun and a new kind of episode coming at you all. So it should be fun, and we'll see how it goes, and we will see you then. So thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Take a Bow. Find us on all social media at Take a Bow Podcast. You can look at our website, takeabowpod.com. And yeah, check us out. Check us out on TikTok, Instagram, all the things. Have a great week, everybody.
For this episode's curtain call, I would like to recognize a few people who also deserve to take a bow. This podcast would not be possible without the help from Dory Berenstein, Brittany Bigelow, Katie Rosen, Alan Seals, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Next in line to take a bow is Kessie Tokash, who edits the audio and all the visuals for this podcast. A special thanks to patrons Brian Thompson, Pat McNamara, the listeners at PCC, as well as all of the other patrons for their continued support. If you're interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/TAB. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe on the platform that you're currently listening to this on. Also, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Take a Bow Podcast. Take a Bow's logo is designed by Giselle Bustos, and the music is by Nikki Torsha and Cormac Collinon. Bye, everyone. Hope to see you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.